comes to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian, and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
One of the biggest pieces of garbage I have ever come to know.
I think I remember him.
Yeah, you. I know you met him at least a couple times. But yeah, this dude just was the total lingerer.
Oh, lingerer.
Just would never leave your place and was such a fiend, was like always either... looking to just get a little from you, like trying to buy from you, but that rarely happened because he didn't ever have money. Even though, like, this kid was really well off. I went to University of San Diego. It's a private school, a lot of rich kids. I wasn't one of them, unfortunately, but this kid, like, came from money, so cash wasn't a problem, but he would just never...
He probably just spent it on cocaine.
Well, yeah, that's another story.
Did he ever snap the bull and just bounce?
Oh, all the time.
Oh,
he would do that
those
too.
Are the worst people, aren't they?
So we're talking about we're recording on the holiday 420.
Yeah, it is 420.
Yeah.
420.
No, we had a guy freshman year. His name was Will, and he started off. His first impression was playing his trumpet at 6 a.m. The second day to wake everybody up. He lived on the floor above us, but he was known for like riding his razor scooter around. And never going to class. He had like a 0.00 GPA after the first semester.
No shit.
But just got
all but a 4.0 on them scooter skills.
He did.
Yeah.
And he was just high all the time.
See,
if Tally was a person that rode a scooter, he'd be Will.
Oof. Wow.
I had a friend. We
I love Tally.
We dabbled in it together in high school for a second. And I legitimately to this day think it may have ruined his Major League Baseball career.
Oh, it ruined his life 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
This guy, I mean, won't mention any names, but yeah, holy crap. I think he just, he liked it a lot.
Yeah. He walked down that green path and never turned
that
around.
That green mile.
Never came back.
Green mile. Yeah. No one ever comes back from the green mile. I've seen the movie. guys, welcome. This is Pop Not Soda. As Brett mentioned, we are recording on a Wednesday, which is a little weird, but it is 420. We've got a great show for you today. We are going to be talking about wedding season because I think we're about to hit like full stride, especially here in San Diego.
Yep.
Ooh, crazy. I just came back from one.
Yep. Yeah, you did.
I'm going to one in 2 weeks.
Season is upon
I've
us.
Got one in like 2 months. So, and then I think we're going to talk a little bit Power Rangers movie update. Brian is reviewing Mockingjay Part Doe.
Mm-hmm. J-Law.
Is it duh?
J-Law all day long.
I think it's duh.
Duh?
Duh.
And, duh? I mean, speaking of 420 and marijuana, Coachella weekend 2 is this weekend. Weekend 1 has just passed. I've heard mixed reviews about this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's a hit or miss affair with what it's been so far. I'm geared up to go this weekend. I'm pretty excited about fifth and final year. But Dan, what have you heard about hit or miss so far?
I heard like Guns N' Roses was not very good on Saturday night for being the Saturday night headliner.
So that's always what I get when I talk to people that didn't have a great time at Coachella, is that they set their expectations just way too high. And when you see some artists live, you realize, you know, why that studio equipment is so expensive.
Two chains.
Yeah. Two chains. The fuck out of here.
What? If you have high expectations
for... He needs two watches because he showed up 20 minutes late.
Yeah, but if you have any expectations for Two Chains other than he can smoke weed very well, you're fooling yourself.
That's
yeah.
True.
But I mean, like, get real. GNR, you really think they're going to rock the house? Come on.
I mean, yeah, my expectations are low. If Axl can perform half of a song,
well, he's got a broken foot. He broke it like 2 weeks ago.
Which I heard too. He borrowed Dave Grohl's
chair. Yeah, they didn't even change it. It still has the Foo Fighters logo.
He can't even change it. same thing. Oh my god.
Yeah. And geez. I think for me, like, I'm not attending this year. I attended last year, but I'm not attending this year. I was looking at the set times, especially like on Saturday night and Sunday, and there's a lot of there's a lot of conflicts in who I would want to see and when they're going on.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of happy I'm not going, because I did watch a couple of the streams on Sunday night, which are always cool. I think the best stream I've ever seen is Kanye's performance from 2011, which he went on for like 2 hours.
Oh, the Jesus stage. That's where he came up off the ramp, right? I think that he got listed on the ramp. Yeah.
No, I mean, because that was before Yeezus, or like that was right after 808.
We'll get short round on that.
Anyway, it was awesome. And this year, watched Chainsmokers, and they had like 7 guest singers come out, which were awesome. And my friend said Calvin was pretty good. They watched him and had Rihanna, and they enjoyed that. But
that's the funniest thing, is that this year, I mean, Coachella is known for the surprise guests and everybody that comes out. But I mean, the funniest thing about this year is, I think it was a very delicate balance between totally expected that guy. What the hell is that person doing with this person on stage?
I mean, Bernie Sanders.
Run the Jewels.
Video introduced by video Run the Jewels, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, they're one group that I am pretty bummed that I'm missing this year. I honestly think the lineup looked pretty good. Yeah, other than the headliners, you know? Like, I don't want to see LCD Sound System or Guns N' Roses headline. Like, Calvin's cool, you know, end the show with him, send everybody home in a good mood. But I mean, come on! Like,
I mean, I why can't
reunion groups to headline Coachella?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah. The headliners aren't the best this year. I'll tell you the funny thing about it this year, though, is that, like, once again, I printed the set times out like I do every year, and it's gradually gone from where you guys see it right here. I mean, we can't do a visual layout, but you look at it.
Just imagine.
Where it used to fluctuate, for Sahara is on the far right, where it comes into the geographic location. That's the most DJ dubstep.
Yeah, it's the EDM tent.
Ridiculously drug-fueled tent.
And just, if you haven't been, imagine an airplane hangar full of lasers, light displays, and LED screens. And that's the Sahara tent.
And if you want permanent hearing damage,
visit
the tent.
Well, yeah, and imagine too. I mean, imagine, like, from the outside what it sounds like. It sounds like 100 cards that don't know their stereo system are just blaring it to the shit.
Oh yeah, you can hear from the main stage.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. So the funny thing about it, though, is, like, I highlight the acts every year that I want to see or whatever, and you see it where it's gradually gone from. I'll tell you, like, Sahara used to be just completely highlighted. And now it's just like very dabbled here and there, and it's all like, I can't deal with that shit.
Nope. It's because you're 30 now.
I cannot deal with it.
And you, no more oons for you.
I know. That's what I'm saying, man. I'm getting older.
Yeah. And this is the one thing that bothered me about Guns N' Roses being a headliner for this year's Coachella.
You're comparing me to Axl Rose?
No. Everyone's going to be asleep.
Is the fact that they're doing a reunion tour, so it's not even like a special performance. Like, why pay $375 when you can pay like the $30 to go see them at Qualcomm in August?
Those tickets will be on Groupon.
Definitely.
They already
guarantee
are.
It.
Yeah. I heard there's an AARP discount for that show as well.
Are you looking at me, Dan?
I mean, it can be.
I hate you.
You are across from me at the table that we're recording at right now. but no, I enjoy Coachella. It's a very like fun experience, and I think if you are going for the experience of Coachella, you will always have a good time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So if you are solely dependent on who's performing, then this festival is definitely not what you want to do.
And you know what I would say? As a five-time goer now, we're going on our five-time winner.
Kobe.
This weekend.
I want to see a Coachella Rooney after the recording.
I'm basically the Kobe of Coachella now.
No, you're probably Booker T.
Oh my god, we got to figure that out after the show.
Hit you with the booger tea.
But I would tell anybody that's on the fence of going to Coachella, go to Coachella. If you're on the fence, go to it for sure. At least experience it once. And if you're on the fence about camping, definitely do the camping too. Because camping, Brian's camped with us before. Camping is half the experience. And I'll tell you the most convenient thing about it too, is you can literally go 15 minutes outside the venue, take your nap, do whatever, drink whatever you want. That's
30-minute walk.
Yeah, that might be a little longer walk. But I mean, the shuttles are a mess sometimes, and that's the last thing. That's the last thing you want to do is have to dabble into the shuttles before getting in and out of the venue again. But yeah,
yeah. My advice when people are on the fence is always go. Like, you have to experience it at least once in your life. I've been twice, and both times were ridiculously fun. And yeah, it's more than just music, you know. It's about being with tens of thousands of people that are all there to have a good time, and like the energy is unreal. And it's two different places during the day and during the night, completely different. Like it's funny because unless like you're there and you like have experienced this, when you're there at night, it's just a complete like wonderland of crazy shit. And that's when the most people are there. And then during the day, it's hot and gross. And people are just trying to survive, but
the
energy level is like way lower, 'cause you know, it's 95 degrees.
It goes from Mad Max Fury Road to Vegas Club in about six hours.
I'm going
to
tell you,
like, as soon as the sun sets, it's a trip. Yeah. Like, yeah. As soon as the sun goes down, it just completely shifts.
I think, heaven is probably Thursday night, Friday morning of Coachella. That just permanently.
Just rolling in.
Because
yeah,
I will tell you, like, everybody on Thursday night is just so excited. And everyone's exploring together. And then Friday morning, everybody's just ready to party. And
the
everyone's,
veil of reality
everyone's
falls
at, like,
down.
100%, yeah. Like, ready to go. And, I mean, because, let's see, I was in Lot 4 when I went last year. So, it's a long walk. It's, like, the furthest parking lot from the entrance. And just walking
also,
up.
Also, the most away from the chaos, though, too.
Yes, most away from the chaos. Yeah. But just, like, walking through the campgrounds, I, like, joined in, like, 3 flip cup games, signed to somebody's table because, like, my friend did a beer. But, like, all on the way. Like, it's a journey.
Yeah.
And everyone's so generous and just happy to be there.
Yeah. I mean,
because drugs.
Yeah. it is a rad time. We're excited about it this weekend. I mean, we'll come back. We'll have some stories to tell. I think one of the best memories, though, I have is, like, you see, like, I don't know, you see just people bringing their babies and stuff. Things like that. Like, I mean, it's just like, this is outrageous that this is, that's not the one of the best memories ever, but I mean, like, holy crap, like,
look at that baby.
Look at that baby.
Greatest memory ever.
Baby.
Heads up, baby. Coachella.
I just imagine the baby already has like a flower crown, has a crow, like a crocheted onesie.
Well, here's, okay, let me just throw this out there. If you need to put protective devices over your child's ears, probably shouldn't take a young baby to that event. Coachella parents, NASCAR parents, like, come on, get real.
Hey,
leave the kid at home.
Seriously, find a babysitter.
What do you guys have both went, and you guys aren't going this year. So no. What I want to ask you guys, what's
Coachella?
Yeah, no Coachella for you guys.
#Coachella.
Coachella. Where would you go? I mean, what's your best experience of Coachella?
Well, for me, this year, logistically, it just would not have worked out. I am going to be out of town the next 2 weekends on lengthy foreign trips. But, man, my favorite memory, it's hard to say. There's a lot. But, I'll say at one point, I may or may not have been under the influence of certain things, but I distinctly
beer.
Remember
happiness,
beer and alcohol.
Yeah, beer and
alcohol.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, that's a wicked combination.
Happiness, exactly. Anyway, laying on the grass. It's at night. It's me and my buddy Elliot, who's actually been a feature
Elliot.
On this program. Shout out to Eltron. And we're just laying in the grass, and it is, man.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah. I can't remember. The name of the band escapes me right now. I'll be right back
Pretty
with
Lights?
It.
Wu-Tang?
No. It's Foster the People. So Foster the People was performing and FTP. And they were awesome. I've seen them twice, and both times they've been incredible. And yeah, just, I mean, like laying back, it wasn't too crowded, just chilling, watching, you know, some of the best live performers I've ever seen. And yeah, everybody just having a great time. Sun's down.
How about you, Dan?
Craziness is starting to come out.
Because I only have one Coachella to choose from. I will say, when you lay on the grass, like sunset evening, like,
are you
Saturday
not worried
night?
That somebody's gonna step on your face?
No. I was by the hills by the Dulac.
Okay.
Because like there was nobody on for like an hour and a half.
Every time I'm sitting on the lawn, I'm worried and somebody's just gonna tromp right on my face.
It was right after Hoser just performed. My friends who I was with, they all kind of split up because they all wanted to see different people, and I was just like, I don't need to see anybody right now. And I will say, I did take like an hour nap on that hill, and it's amazing. The grass at Coachella when it's there is the best thing ever, since you're on your feet for three straight days. But I will say probably Jack White later that night, because I went with two buddies that I've been friends with since like the first week of college. And yeah, that watching that with them at Coachella was awesome. Just being there with my two best friends, and one may or may not have been under the influence of some party favors, and we kept squirting him in the face with his Camelback water, and he couldn't handle it. And like, when we hit him, the look of betrayal that just came over his face, but then enjoyment of the water, and then betrayal again, realizing what we had done. It was entertaining.
Oh, itself. Emotions fluctuate very volatilely.
Yeah.
It is a roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah.
What about you, Brett? What are you looking forward to from your last Coachella?
Shoot, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of good surprise acts that I'm not expecting. I think I'm more of a fan of the ones that are why the hell did this come together? We saw AWOL Nation and Macy Gray the first year that we were performing. I mean, that just like was, your jaw drops as soon as you see something like that. So I think something like that would be good. Good food too. That's what I'm looking forward to, is good food. Surprisingly,
those,
they had
crab fries.
Yeah, I mean, they have this like so food. Bomb. They've invented this food truck section in like the back corner or whatever, and it's
best corn dog I've ever had.
Holy God. I've had that corn dog too. Yeah. And then we have
it's not cheap, but it's good. It'll get you through.
Yeah. And if you haven't tried it too, there's a s'more station there, which is delicious, by the
way.
Really? Yeah. S'mores. They do s'mores there. Yeah. This thing, the line was out the door.
That's exactly what I want when it's 98 degrees outside.
At night, though, in a Vegas club setting, completely different.
I've never been in a Vegas club and been like, I'd go for a s'more right now.
Really?
No, never.
But if there was a
s'more rolling double
station in the club, I mean, who are you to say no?
Can't deny.
Yes, I can't be a Brit. All right, well, I think we are going to head to our first break. We'll be back as Brian's will be reviewing Mockingjay Part Duh.
You think Jennifer Lawrence will be at Coachella this year?
She is
a weekend one.
Such, of course,
no,
she's a weekend
one. I don't
even
think
she's
a weekend one. I think she's a weekend two.
I was just going to say, she's such a great actress.
Like an
she's
average
just going to sneak in and
girl.
Sneak out.
She's
Ooh.
An average girl.
She was there and you didn't even know it. She was standing next to Leo and Rihanna and nobody even was the wiser. All right, guys. I'm sure a lot of you are trying to recover from your Coachella hangover when you're listening to this, maybe on the ride back. Actually, that's a perfect idea.
Hangella?
That we're going to throw out there. Just pop on the soothing voices of those gents and Pop Nut Soda.
Yeah, too bad this episode comes out the day after Coachella. So they
no,
won't
on the
know
ride
that.
Home. No, on the ride home, bro.
Don't you
this
go home on Sunday?
This is the ride home from Coachella.
Go home on Sunday.
Yeah, we went home Sunday early morning.
Rooks.
What?
Like 2 a.m.
Rooks over here.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. On with your movie review. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about a movie.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later, Dan.
Yeah. Well, that's how much that I enjoyed this film. Obviously, it's at the forefront of my mind. So I was kind of forced to recently watch Mockingjay Part 2, the last chapter of the Hunger Games movies, at least. Or maybe they're going to do more. I don't know. But at least for this section of the Hunger Games history. It's over. And
are you happy?
Ooh.
I mean, I'll say this. Like, I'm not a real big fan. My girlfriend, she read all the books, so she, of course, wants to see all the movies. And we've seen all of them. I actually thought the first two weren't bad. I enjoyed the first one. Like, it was a cool idea.
Why go hungry?
What do you mean?
The Hunger Games. Temple of the Dog. Oh, my God. You guys are terrible. Go on.
Yeah, we're the terrible ones. Jinx.
You owe me a beer.
You owe me a small child that I can eat because we're talking about the Hunger Games. if you don't know the story of the Hunger Games, go read a book or watch the movie. Because I'm not really going to talk about it. But it just, like, gets really weird towards the end, because instead of, you know, the competition between a whole bunch of random kids that are trying to kill each other, now it's them rebelling against the government, and it kind of takes, like, a Star Wars left turn, which started in Mockingjay Part 1. And, of course, you still have the love triangle there, and she's just not sure what she's going to do. Oh, Katniss Everdeen, what is she going to do? Oh, Jennifer Lawrence, you're so good at displaying conflicting feelings between two guys. And you can tell, too, like, watching this movie, she's just, like, over it. Like, she's a pro, so she is, like, in the movie, but it's like you can tell she just can't wait to get the fuck out of here and do something else, you know, something more substantive. It's also weird to see Philip Seymour Hoffman in it, because they totally do, like, a Paul Walker job and CGI him, like,
just
in the movie.
One scene.
It is just one scene. I feel like he would have had a much bigger role in the movie, though, if he didn't pass away during
the filming. His voice is what threw me off. Sorry.
Yeah.
What, did they digitally recreate his voice? Or?
Yeah, they definitely tried to do that, and they tried to use scenes, like, footage that they'd already filmed instead of, like, really just mapping it over somebody else. So every time he spoke, it was like the camera was behind him facing a different actor. It didn't, like, you could tell.
Yeah. Like, I think that Tron did a decent job of, like, remaking a character, you know? I much would have rather seen them try that route. But, you know, it's, I don't know. They probably didn't need too many special effects guys on that film. Well, I mean, it's only one scene, too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Anyway. We digress. The R.I.P. Philip Seymour Hoffman. I think he realized how bad this movie was during filming and was just like, I'm out. Okay, it's not that bad. Don't go see it unless you are like me and were forced to watch it. And you're like, well, there's one more. Might as well finish it, see how it ends.
Is it even worth it to watch it from there?
No, I mean honestly, just watch the first two and, like, be done.
Check out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, Mockingjay.
Catching Fire is definitely the best one.
Yeah. Like, Mockingjay, which is 3 and 4, they're just, like, continuations of each other. Imagine, like, one Tarantino movie cut in half. And, yeah, it just gets weird. Like, it takes away from... It's what got, like, the casual viewer like me into the film, because it was something cool and something that you'd never seen before, and it was really suspenseful. And then when you take him out of that environment and just have him, like, run around, like, the real city and, you know, try and organize this, like, military coup, it lost me, because they didn't do a very good job of that.
So how many quarters are you going to give?
So I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 quarters.
Ooh, damn.
I can never give Jennifer Lawrence a 1, no matter what.
Yeah.
And she's badass in it. Like, you know, there's a couple of pretty cool action scenes.
Yeah.
So you're saying she's not a dime, sure. She's a quarter. Damn, I'm bringing them tonight, guys. That's 2 weeks in a row.
She's technically 2 quarters because he gave her 2. But
I hate you.
Did you guys read the books?
I did not.
I read all 3
by Susan Collins.
Yeah, and Mockingjay is by far the worst book It's a terrible book. It's probably in the top 10 worst books I've ever read.
Yeah, well, it translates on screen.
Because she apparently only had ideas for the first two. And when
so
she
why
got,
make a third
because
one?
When she got her deal, they wanted a trilogy. So it you can tell like she
we know how Godfather 3 ended
so,
up.
It's
yeah.
so rushed.
You know.
And she tries, and it, what they didn't have in the movies that they have in the book is that Katniss is like addicted to morphine, like oh. this huge drug addiction. They kind of allude to it, like how they have to keep like drugging her and stuff, but like she's just addicted.
Would that have been 75 cents worth?
No, because it makes it worse because she writes a stream of consciousness. Like Katniss is the narrator. So now you have to read a narrator who's on drugs and isn't coherent. And you can't write, and you have to be what, very.
Just, the words just.
You have to be a yeah. You have to be a very good writer to make sure that.
Two.
Yeah, you have to be a very good writer to get that across. And she fails terribly, so I was very worried for these movies. They were better than I thought they would be, but they're not that good. So
yeah,
I'm with you, Brian.
Yeah, not that good.
Yeah, I'm.
Save
watched,
your time and money.
I've watched three else. Of them so far. So,
but
I'm
I will say, like,
not going to watch the fourth one.
The acting is. Like there's people in it who act very well. Like I love Elizabeth Banks, for example. She's great at what she does.
But she was good in the first two.
Well, she's so good that she's not even supposed to be in the third book. That they brought her into the third movie because yeah. of how good she was.
Oh, so yeah. that's how much faith they have in the third story.
Yeah, we needed to add her. But I mean, she I think is. I was very skeptical when she was going to take on that role because it's very like. It's a character driven.
Right.
Like it's not Elizabeth Banks gets to be this person. You really have to commit, and so she's doing that for another role,
ooh,
which
baby.
Is Rita. What did you say her last name was, Brian? That you learned today?
Repulsa.
Repulsa. Rita Repulsa. She's
R squared.
The villain of the Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah.
The marquee villain.
Yeah.
I was gonna try and do an impression of her voice, but
I don't think. Any of us knew that
yeah.
I pitched.
And frequent listener Amy Jo
Johnson. I was
going
to have to punch myself in the groin.
This is a nod to you. We're bringing
yes.
up this subject right now. So hats
you.
Off to you,
still
Amy.
Love you. But yeah, if you don't know that they are doing a remake of the Power Rangers movie, it's unfortunately, it won't be rated R, but it will be rated PG-13. So it'll
good
be
enough.
A little bit more adult-ish.
I'm surprised they're even going PG-13.
Well, yeah, because they want to target our generation. The kids that are now, you know, mid, late 20s who grew up with it. Not necessarily... what Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is doing with being PG and trying to get everyone across the board.
I was just going
to
ask, those are still PG?
Yeah, because Nickelodeon is like the producing company of it, so that's why it's still PG.
I didn't know Michael Bay could make anything PG.
Well, technically he was only a producer, so. And I don't think he's even producing the new one. But I'm excited because they released the first photo of what she'll look like as Rita, and it looks cool. She's a little bit more revealing, a little bit more like,
it looks
attractive.
Nothing like the
yeah,
original character.
Because the original looked like an Asian version of the Wicked Witch of the West without the green paint.
Mixed with like
was,
a gargoyle that had
yeah.
hair. Like it was weird.
Really weird.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, she looks cool. And like if I think of a villain for like a sci-fi-ish movie, like how they did the design with the green suit and like the eyes and like, you know, the claws and everything, like, you know, her
oh,
nails.
Oh, the claws?
Her nails, yeah.
Yeah.
Brian's gesturing towards his chest.
Do you think they'll, like, are they going to bring back any of the cast? The original cast?
Oh, Tommy has to be in it. Because Tommy has already come back for, like, two, like, he's
Green
already...
Ranger?
He
was Green Ranger.
He was the Green Ranger, the White Ranger, the Red Ranger, and the Black Ranger.
Whoa.
Yes.
He was the Red Ranger
yeah,
at one
so
point?
He's the Red Ranger in Turbo, because he takes over.
Oh.
And then he's the Black Ranger because he's like a professor that finds these stones, which you can like, this is like season like 15. Like, so it was like the dinosaur one, which was kind of cool, but he was like a retired professor. And then
I think
he
I was
like,
around 25 when that one came out.
He was
so.
Like the
a
new.
What was he a professor of?
Archaeology.
Morphology.
Ponytails?
So it didn't have the ponytails.
Mighty Morphology.
Whoa. Getting excited about them ponytails.
He had like spiky hair, but, yeah, he was like the new like Zordon. Like he was like the leader. Like he was like the council, like the advisor to
did
the Rangers.
Did he still warp through with that fucked up face?
Whoa.
With Zordon?
No.
Do you
he
remember
was
that?
An actual person, yes.
When he talked to people?
Yeah,
like,
the Casper head in
yeah.
a tube.
Yeah, it was super creepy.
Yeah.
It was the whole dad and Superman in the OG Superman.
That's totally what it was.
Yeah. Marlon Brando.
But he's definitely got to be in it.
Yeah.
He has to be.
Anybody else? Amy Jo Johnson? Shout out.
Oh, I would love if she was in it. But probably not.
Pete Granger.
I don't. She can still get it, though. She can still get it.
See, yeah. There's like a certain point where if you have one, that's cool. But if you have like two, then it's like, well, two's okay, but why not just get the whole cast if you're going to do multiple people, you know?
Don't go full retard.
Never.
Yeah, never go full reunion, Guns N' Roses.
But yeah, I will say, though, if they were to do two characters, I think it would have to be Amy Jo Johnson because her and Tommy belong together.
Yeah. Do you think they'll have the...
Oh, what if they have a Power Ranger kid?
Oh.
Ooh.
Like the kid is the new member, their kid, and he's a Super Ranger because he's the product of two Power Rangers.
Damn.
They'd have to be married first.
That'd be gangster. That would be
Could
gangster.
You imagine going to a Power Ranger wedding?
Will they have...
No.
Does he get married? I couldn't. Would he be like military? Would he get married in his Power Ranger suit? Or would he be wearing a tux?
No.
And would that tux be green or white?
I think they definitely have to like clasp their belt buckles together or whatever those, you know, those things that they hold up are.
They're called morphers.
Oh, the morphers.
Are
the
morphers?
Right.
Yeah, they'd have to clasp those morphs together.
So
like,
they're having
a symbol of union.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be the first, I think, step. And then it'd trigger like all out destruction in the bay behind them because it summoned just two giant dinosaurs.
They would just pose and everyone would be confused. There would be fireworks going off behind them. Do you think Billy makes the cut as a best man for Tommy?
Billy?
Yeah.
I think they were competing for the same Pink
no,
Ranger
that was Jason.
At one time.
Yeah, that's Jason.
Oh.
Billy was the geek with the glasses.
Oh, Blue Ranger.
Yeah, he was
Blue Ranger. We're talking Blue Ranger. Oh, Billy's going to be on Amy Jo Johnson's side. He's going to be in the Pink Rangers party.
Does Zach get an invite?
Zach's the Black Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all get invites.
Yeah, they all get invites.
They might not just all get plus ones.
I don't think they're sitting at the same table, though. That's one. That's the thing. I don't think they're sitting at the
same
table. You
don't think he would put them at the tables by like which crew of Rangers he was on together?
Yeah, exactly. That's my thought. You organize them by color.
Dude, what were the two
racist,
biker dudes? Skull and...
Skull and...
The
Pig,
fat and the skinny
hog,
dude,
or
right?
Yeah.
Hot, was it hot? Yeah.
The punker guys.
Yeah, they
right,
were like
right,
punkers.
Right,
do they get invited?
Yeah, do they get invited to the wedding? I feel like they do.
I mean, but they would...
They're
would
actually
really
parking the cars.
Okay. Is the wedding catered by the juice bar?
Ooh, yes.
Yes.
It definitely is.
Absolutely.
It definitely is.
Oh, man. So speaking of weddings, it's wedding season.
Yes, it is. We have a ton coming up. We just enjoyed
one. You just got
one.
Back for one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How was that?
Just enjoyed one. Hey, shout out
to... Who got married?
Shout out to Kyle Ty. He's a listener. Hey, you had a great wedding, buddy. Congrats. Congrats on wearing it.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Brian and I are wondering where our invites were.
Oh.
Yeah, what's up, bro? It's a big idea.
If you're a listener, you know, maybe. We could have done a live episode from your wedding.
Well, that's what I was
during the ceremony.
If anyone's listening and
just live commentary during the ceremony.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe not during the ceremony, but definitely the reception.
Could like Twitch stream the the wedding.
Instead of a DJ, it'll just be us.
Yeah.
For 45 minutes.
Oh, God.
Just talking. People sitting there listening to us talk.
During cocktail hour. Nobody really listens to the music during cocktail hour anyway.
And, right. There'd just be a lot of bottles thrown at our heads, I think. Shut the fuck up. Play some music.
We got the brown-haired one. Oh, look, and he's getting up, getting another drink. That's the fifth drink tonight.
Yeah, Brett would be at the open bar. He wouldn't even be recording.
Oh, yeah. That bar was going off, though. But shout out to Kyle Ty and Angela. You guys, hey, that was an amazing
wedding.
Yeah, congrats, Pop Not Soda.
Nuptials.
Hey,
cheers.
Yeah, we wish you great luck. That was a great wedding. But yeah, hey, talking about weddings, though, I've got three more coming up this year.
Oh,
you guys
too.
Have any banked up?
Yeah, I have one in Hawaii,
ooh,
one in Minnesota, and one in Cincinnati.
Ooh.
That got worse. You started high and got worse as you went
along. Oh, and then another one here in San Diego. Oh, no, and then there's one in July.
So you have five.
Going to, and then another one here in San Diego.
Six. I think you just racked up. You just rallied up.
That's about
five.
Six weddings.
Five.
You got five.
Five weddings.
Okay.
How about you, Dan?
I had one last month. So in here in San Diego at the library downtown.
Where was it at?
Library downtown, which was super nice.
This was at the Scripps Aquarium. Also very, very nice.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Right on the perfect sunset, everything. Yeah.
And then I have another one in just under 2 months up in Poway.
Oh.
which will be fun. And then
Poway. Ranchy kind of Poway?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I have another one in September in Carpinteria, right outside of Santa Barbara.
I've driven by that. That's like a train stop before Santa Barbara. That's a train stop before UCSB.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, do they sell carpets there?
No. They don't. I'm going to take that as a
That's
no.
three strikes, bro. Dan's look. Okay. Dan's three strikes look. Tonight.
I've legitimately thought that every time going on that train up there.
Well, speaking of weddings, and Brett, you being here, you were actually at this wedding. I know we were talking about kind of rattling off some of our best wedding moments.
Oh, we have.
I think you might know which one I'm talking about. So our good friend Nate Bowman.
Story time.
Yes, story time. Kids, sit down and shut the fuck up because I'm about to tell you a story. So Brett and I went to high school and, you know, grew up with this kid, played Little League with him. He got married. We were at his bachelor party in Vegas. Great time. But fast forward to the wedding, and his fiance, now wife, is in a very wealthy family. So I'm not going to name the name, but her stepfather, a very well off individual. They lived in this like crazy, sick giant mansion where the wedding was. In Poway, just right on the mountain, like unbelievable view. So, you know, getting up there, you like have to take this crazy way and, you know, you get dropped off in the front. There's like garages and horse stables everywhere.
There's one carousel that was in like the New Jersey, like Island Fair back in the like 1920s that they have. Yeah.
Just ridiculous. Like, absolutely unreal. So as I'm getting dropped off, you know, it's a couple of us that we all went together. We just see this girl like storming out of the wedding in her like dress.
Wedding attire,
like holding her crap, just like bawling and storming out. Come to find out that was the maid of honor that was just thrown out of the wedding because she was, I think, complaining slightly and like having an attitude, and the bride was not having that shit. So
pulled the card.
She sent her packing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. She gone.
And knowing the bride too, she's very level headed. So I'm assuming that it was pretty coming.
I mean, it's an easy thing to do, like on a chick's wedding day. Just do whatever she
says. Just behave.
Do whatever she says. Yeah,
whatever
just
the bride says is what you
do. Yeah.
Do whatever she says one day.
That's what was crazy is, I mean, there was, I think this wedding party was like 10 of, I think there were 10 on each side. No, probably 8.
Yeah, so you're replaceable.
Eight or 10. There was no drama though. That's what's crazy is, like, as we get older though, like I see the wedding parties fluctuate and I'm like, oh God, like mixing up so-and-so with so-and-so. I've grown up with, I know what's up with that. And then, this was like a perfect wedding. I mean, it happened, but you see drama happen all the freaking time.
I've luckily haven't seen.
You've never seen drama? How about this, Dan? Have you ever seen, because this is what they did this time, and I won't let you know how it went, because I'll ask you guys first, but kids in a wedding, a ring boy or a flower girl running down.
The last one we were at.
How old, first off?
I want to say they were probably between like 4 and like 8.
And do you have a minimum age?
I don't know, but that I would say 4 was probably the youngest.
If you were going to have a wedding, would you have a minimum age?
I probably wouldn't do that.
Okay.
But again, not up
to
me.
I mean, for the flower girl,
because you're not
allowed
to get married to a guy.
Yeah.
I thought you and I were getting married. It really depends on what Brian wants.
Are you guys not getting... Shh. I was waiting for that shit. Okay. Anyway. Brian, how about you, though? Minimum age, would you do a ring boy or flower girl, things like that?
Right. Man, hard to say. I mean, I wouldn't have an issue with it. I've been to a lot of weddings, and I've seen the good and the bad with kids. Like, it can be really cute, and everybody loves it if the kid is on, you know, on their game.
On point.
Right. But then it can also be just a ridiculously painful process if the kid, like, starts crying and breaks down, like, and sucks at life.
These three,
like, you're 3 years old. You can carry the ring.
These three, the ring was a dod, by the way. It was a ring dod. at this last wedding.
Which probably behaves better than like some children or a majority of children.
And she had a little tutu on.
Yeah.
And it worked. But the flower girls, they were all at three separate speeds. So the first one was like normal. And then, you know, the second one was just so slow.
Like handing out flowers to everybody. Like, hey, there's five down this
way. The last one, who was probably like the middle, she's probably like five. She probably threw four petals and just kind of like, I'm over this.
Yeah.
Why am I here? The fuck am I doing?
Yeah. I think it's, I'm a fan of having kids in that component of the wedding. As long as the parent knows how to jump in and execute a improv plan. If things go awry immediately. Cause I've been in weddings before where it is exhausting to me when you see somebody that's like, okay, and here comes the flower girl or the ring boy, and then they stop at the front and they're just like, and they just start looking everywhere. And then you see the parent in the corner, the parent's just like, no, keep going. And we're going to test this for about 2 or 3 minutes.
Right.
You know, not like anybody's paying for this venue or anything like that. You know, we're just going to dabble this out.
Well, yeah, it's just probably because the first time they've been able to like sit down and have a drink in months,
yeah,
years.
That's
so they like true. They don't give a shit. That's they're like, true. Oh, this kid's gonna run wild. People are here. He's not gonna kill himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Relax for 5 minutes.
To like what I'm getting at though is I would say this wedding was probably the first time I've ever seen it before. And hats off to Brad too, because Brad legitimately had his girls in the wedding. There are the flower girls or whatever, and he's bringing them down or whatever. And we had heard some drama kind of going on or whatever. Like they were talking about, okay, the girls are kind of freaking out. They're in the bridal room, you know, they're freaking out about their shoes, they're freaking out about their dresses and all sorts of stuff or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, they all come walking out and immediately Brad goes, this ain't happening. All right, cool. I'm going to pick them up and we are walking together down the entire aisle, just starts throwing flowers together and just completely moves through the ceremony. And it's like, everybody's like, that was actually a really cute thing too. I mean, cool. Everything's working well and the ceremony's moving on and we don't have this awkward moment where I have to avoid that person who I think is a shitty parent at the end of the night.
I will be honest. If it's not super necessary because of family or because my potential wife would want kids in the wedding, I really would not want kids at my wedding.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm there because, to get hammered and have a party.
That, yeah. And think about it. If you have like a very like expensive meal or like kids ain't going to eat shit and you got to pay for an extra plate, like...
Yeah.
Make the kids eat shit.
Yeah.
Whoa. I think it solves everything.
Whoa. See, that's where Allison and I, we're still trying to figure that out. But I think at the end of the day, we're just...
If
the kids are going to eat shit. Yeah, yeah. So...
That was hardcore. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I think we did a kind of special type of wedding in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. We definitely do.
Compared to the other parts of the country.
Yeah.
Because you can everywhere out here is gorgeous.
Yeah. And then you can have a wedding year-round, too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
You know? Although I hate summer
but
weddings.
But what would you say is like the most stereotypical things of a Southern California wedding?
Wow.
I'll tell you one. I think it's what I've noticed, and this is no fault to the women at all, but I've noticed there's always a change of pair in shoes.
Yeah, they always
there's always a double shoes.
You
know, you got the the wedding shoes, and then you have the reception shoes, the dance shoes.
Is that only in
Southern California? California? I don't know.
But if those reception shoes are rainbows, I would say yes, and I've seen that.
Ooh,
I would
there
definitely
we go.
Say that's very California, yeah. Very SoCal.
Yeah.
I would say mini desserts.
Instead of like an actual cake?
Right.
Like wedding cupcakes?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Well, that shit has sprinkles. You know, I'm down. The last one I went to, instead of having like a 3-course meal, it was kind of cool. Taco guy.
No way.
Two taco guys. And yeah, dude, and it was just like a line. You line up and you go through and you get whatever kind of tacos you want and all the toppings.
Okay, I want to ask you guys about this.
You ain't getting a real taco guy anywhere else in Southern California, let's be honest.
So yeah. when it comes to organization and everything like this for the wedding, like I'll tell you the last like 5 weddings I've ever been to too. And they have the best food ever when it comes to appetizers or whatever, but...
Oh, yeah, the cocktail hour?
Yeah, but the cocktail hour, all I'm doing is drinking the entire time. And so then...
Especially if
as
it's
you should be.
Yeah, and then I'm full...
Not called the appetizer hour.
Exactly, and then I'm full when it comes to immediately going to dinner
You are a baby bird.
You know what? Shut up. That's another story. But what I'm telling you is I can't tell you how many times like I haven't enjoyed the meal. It's a delicious meal, but I can only take like 3 or 4 bites of it because I've gotten like a full stomach from just trying to get hammered in like the middle, the minimum cocktail hour that they've allowed.
The last wedding I was at, we had cocktail hour and they had some appetizers. They were like flautas and chips and salsa.
What's the best appetizer you guys have ever had?
Oh, dude, bacon wrapped shrimp.
How about you, Brian?
Sliders.
What kind? I remember those.
They had 2 different kinds, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
I think one was pulled pork and one was just regular.
One was Kobe beef.
That's right. Yeah.
Kobe beef slider. I don't think I'll ever run across a Kobe beef slider again in my life.
I think the other best appetizer I had was the margaritas they were making because they were using margarita mix that already had tequila in it and we didn't know until halfway through the wedding.
Ooh.
So we were ordering doubles and so we were getting basically quadruples or like.
That sounds awesome.
Bartenders now?
No, they didn't know.
Yeah.
Until because they weren't like bartenders. It was like family friends who were bartending for them.
Got it.
Yeah. Best appetizer I've ever had. I'll tell you, it was pigs in a blanket, but it was a tiny little like a little cocktail
weenie.
Sausage, cocktail weenie. And then
little
weenie. Yeah, with some mustard, Dijon mustard on the
that
side.
That would be your favorite.
Holy crap, it was delicious.
Little tiny wiener.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of organization, we had cocktail hour. We went into the reception, and then we didn't eat for like a good hour.
And that's a good I think that that's
speeches
where
speeches happened. They gave a speech. The parents gave a speech. And then there was like photos of like a different like some of our groups from college. And then it was dinner.
Yeah, that kind of like caters. I would say it's a selfish need, but that caters towards my drinking and eating patterns.
But you know who it doesn't cater to is the bride and groom because they never get to like sit down or eat.
Oh, they're just
cocktail hour at all.
They're on.
Oh yeah.
Flurry the entire time.
Never get to eat during your own wedding.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and that's what I've always heard too. Is like half the couple, or I mean, not half, more than that. Like everybody I've ever talked to that's ever done the wedding, they've been like, "Dude, remember like 20% of it? Yeah, I was just running around the entire time. Like I do not.
Everybody wants to talk to you.
Anytime
everybody wants
I got a chance
photo.
To get right. a drink, got a drink, slammed it, and then went to shaking more hands.
I will say that I thanked all the friends who invite me to their weddings that are open bars.
Yes.
Just want to say that. That's
always
good karma.
Yeah.
Because if you got a cash bar, I don't know if I'm available.
Mm. This was a great. You know what I'm a big fan of? I'll tell you right now. Is as I'm getting older, open bars became very appealing when I was younger. But as I get older, I think wine and beer are good open bars. I think hard alcohol, when you start allowing hard alcohol, man, I've seen like, unless you limit it, and there's a
this
weird.
This was like, just vodka and tequila. Like it wasn't like a fully stocked bar.
Yeah, yeah.
They went to Costco, you know, or BevMo before and they bought all the alcohol. So we had to drink it. So
yeah.
We know how to drink
You know what's a good thing is I've seen too, like specialty drinks. They do that too. Mm-hmm. God, we're getting on like the Pinterest episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pop Not Soda Meets Pinterest.
Where's
right
Alyssa?
Now.
I feel like we need our female correspondent here just to balance it out.
Oh, she's
like,
actually been here the whole time. That's
she would actually
this.
Just take it back into like the non.
She's just sitting like, you guys are really talking about weddings this entire time?
Alyssa, and
really?
If you listen to our show before, you know who Alyssa is. She definitely wants Taco Bell or In-N-Out to cater her wedding. Like it's going to be like the least formal wedding. When it comes to food and drink possible.
Chalupa cake?
It's just going to be tequila, craft beer, and like In-N-Out.
I'm a big fan of formal meets informal, where that delicate balance is where people aren't dressing up, acting like dickheads, but you know they're showing up and having a good time.
All right, last question for you.
Yeah.
DJ, band, or playlist?
Oh, I have too much ADD. I'd say DJ. How about you?
I would say if it's a good DJ, then yes. But there are some corny ass DJs.
Oh,
there
especially
that
wedding DJs.
Yeah,
are the worst.
That I have experienced. So I don't. I think a band is out of style.
Ladies and gentlemen, we know Brian Owens is a big fan of the Electric Slide. That's why we're going to do it twice tonight. Come back on the dance floor once again.
Better hit me with that Macarena at least 3 times.
What about the Wobble? Cupid Shuffle.
Right.
How's your whip and nay nay?
That's not bad.
No, see, those are more modern.
My Dougie is...
Yeah.
Dougie's pretty solid. Okay.
I can't do a song that I was dancing to.
What about
to.
Your Cat Daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cat Daddy.
Rolling down the street.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say the songs that bring me back to like the middle school era, that's where I'm like Jocking getting dangerous territory.
Slapping those.
Jeez Louise, I need to hire you as a DJ.
Jeez Louise.
So
we went
playlist.
Did you do that remix?
We went playlist route last time. DJ iMac.
DJ Jeez Louise?
DJ Matt Bush is what it was. And it worked out pretty well.
Because, is it random or is it just somebody just going up there and
like
playing
friend who he does DJ like for fun. He just spent like 3 weeks putting together the playlist.
So did he mix it? Like, were they fading in and fading out?
Or bro, you just throw that fade up at 12 seconds on Spotify and that it's basically a DJ.
Yeah. Did not know that.
For all the like dance songs that we wanted to do, he could just throw them on.
Wait, that's a setting on Spotify?
I've got mine up at like 10 seconds. It sounds like someone's mixing the songs together.
Never heard that before.
It fades like 10 seconds into the like your current song and 10 seconds from the new song. But
blowing my mind.
Yeah. I will say wedding DJs are just like a millimeter above strip club DJs. Like that's how bad they are.
In
the shitty ones.
When
the
they talk to the mic. Yeah, when they talk to the mic.
The shitty ones.
It's just the voice. It's the terrible crowd DJ voice. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's that throwy voice.
For the first time.
It's the one that throws. It like comes from the front. It comes from the back to the front. Like, ladies and gentlemen.
Just complete douchebaggery.
Like, yeah.
If they were hosting a morning talk show on like a radio station, that's how it sounds. Like that voice.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
Yeah.
They're playing the sound effects.
We're going to play Gwen Stefani tonight because no doubt this chick is marrying that guy.
That is terrible.
No way that you just threw that off the hip.
I just came up with that literally
right now.
That's
probably the best joke. Wow. You
should be a
shitty wedding DJ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sign me up right there.
New profession.
That's going to be my weekly segment right there.
Brett's wedding intro?
Brett's shitty wedding intro. So people who use the playlist technique can just play that segment like before their own wedding.
Royalty free. Sure. Royalty free.
So are you going to like say like, Mr. and Mrs., welcome them. Just a pause so that someone can like dub over and put the name.
And I'll put it on a really high frequency so you can hear the before it goes back. Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we move along with any terrible ideas, I think it's a good time to get out of here.
I think we're excited for wedding season though.
Yeah, the only thing I'm not excited for is all the money I have to spend, but it's cheaper than a wedding.
We need to legitimately, so we have I think about 10 banked up together.
Is that I would say Brian has at least half of that.
Yeah,
I've got two.
So we need to make a commitment that we will return those stories as soon as we run into those DJs.
Yeah.
At our wedding.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. And by the way, if anyone would like us to have a live recording from your wedding, we're available. All we ask is access to the open bar and we're fine.
Yeah.
We'll bring our own equipment. We'll set up fine.
Send the mother-in-law my DJ intro.
No charge.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll bring a stripper pole.
Wait, which mother-in-law, though?
Well, I'm saying the mother-in-law of the event.
Yeah, but
which mother-in-law?
Which mother-in-law?
Well, it has to be the mother, or the, I mean the wife's mother. I think she makes all the calls usually at the end of the day.
The wife's mother?
The soon-to-be wife's mother. No?
I think it's really the bride that calls all the shots.
Oh, really? Okay.
You'll learn that soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to have to deal with it. Because Brett, How about, Brian, we need to record from his wedding.
We do, actually.
Yeah. Not the bachelor party, but the wedding.
All right.
All right, guys. If you missed us throughout the week, make sure to check out our mini episodes on Wednesdays and Fridays. You can find us here every Monday on popnotsoda.podbean.com or on iTunes. You want to hit that subscribe button because then you never have to actually think about going to any of those sites to hear us. If you miss us and want to find us on Twitter, Brian is at BOwen619. Brett is at Nieces Pieces, and myself, I'm at Dan_Perez_. That's where Stephen Amell likes to tweet me now and then. You can also follow our main account at Pop_NotSoda. Our Facebook page is one of our most popular social media tools. You can find us at facebook.com/PopNotSodaOfficial. We'll have links for all of our episodes and our upcoming events when we have them and any news regarding our upcoming guests, which next week we will have the band Newcomer on, so it'll be a fun show. Really get excited for that. But if you can't wait, again, those mini episodes like Brian's What I'm Watching, Dan's Dirt Dab, and Brett's shitty wedding intros.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's it.
That's what it's called.
Oh,
that's the
Ladies
tease.
And Gentlemen is
that's
what it's called.
Tease.
Brett's
that's
Ladies
tease.
And Gentlemen.
Brett's Ladies and Gentlemen right there.
No doubt this woman's marrying this. That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, Gwen Stefani just got divorced, right? Maybe you don't want to bring up No Doubt at a wedding.
Ooh. No doubt.
It's California. Everyone gets divorced.
Yeah.
That's how we end our wedding segment. Right there.
Ladies and
it's
gentlemen.
It's California. Everyone gets divorced. Hey, Brett, make sure Allison listens to this episode.
Yeah, she's going to love
it. I hate you both so much.
Hey, that was Brian, not me.
I just can't imagine like somebody going up and being like, welcome to Sarah and Bill's first wedding of their lives. We'll see plenty of more from these two.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you could tell.
Oh, you know right away. Yeah. You know right away. Yeah. That'll be another segment. We'll cover the straight to divorce weddings that we go to.
Couples destined to fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like a FOTS special.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. We will see you guys on the flip side.
Blake Shelton, nice.